a day when we have to bid goodbye to one of the great sources of comic relief so far this year, it's a power panel. Melissa McCarthy's out of a job, but we are still working here at the Young Turks. It's Friday, and we've got Ben Mankiewicz, we've got Mark Thompson joining me, John Iderola. A lot of news, a lot of shuffling around of staff in the White House.
The media loves staff shakeups. That right. is like, I mean.
Well, we like funny staff shakeups.
Totally. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not newsworthy. It is, but it's. But we always think that it's looked at as a sign of strife, and many times, of course, it rights the ship. When John Kerry shuffled his staff either immediately before or after Iowa, and sometimes we like it with campaigns too, either before Iowa or immediately after Iowa in 2004, it straightened things out.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's necessarily a sign of trouble.
In fact,
the signs of trouble for Trump have existed for 6 months. This is not the sign.
I would sign on with that. By the way, I would argue, and we'll get into the conversation, but I would argue that this is a strong day for Trump in terms of his messaging and the potential. I don't know if you can right this ship. I mean, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, ships crash all the time.
But it's not.
clip this out for later. Anyway, okay, so we're going to get back
into
that.
Ironically, in the days before Iderola perished, he made a joke about a shipwreck on the news program.
Almost as if he knew. Have I made any jokes about being eaten by anything? Anyway, we'll see.
No, you'll die on a ship or a plane.
We're going to get into the Spicer and the Scaramucci and some current concerns over pardons and all of that. We've also got Sean Hannity whining. That's going to be fun. But first, let's do a little tour of some news from both abroad and here domestically. The cholera outbreak in Yemen that we reported on earlier this year is now being called, quote, the largest ever recorded in any country in a single year, which is not the way diseases are supposed to work in the modern era. We're supposed to be better at dealing with them, not worse. But there are now 5,000 new cases just within Yemen every single day. And so far, the death toll is already over 1,000, a quarter of which and growing is children. Now, obviously, there's a civil war going on there, and because of that, Yemen's infrastructure in all senses, but medically as well, has been largely destroyed, mostly due to the US-backed Saudi airstrikes. And it's believed, as bad as it is now, that it will actually get worse once Yemen enters its rainy season later on this year. So that's obviously tragic news and only getting worse. Back here in America, we had Made in America Week, and we've got a little bit of irony for you there. Not only during that week did Donald Trump and his family continue to produce almost every single one of their products outside of America, but Mar-a-Lago applied for 70 new foreign worker visas. Now, granted, they will be making American cakes, beautiful big cakes in Mar-a-Lago, but it will not be Americans doing it necessarily.
No, You can't find Americans to do those jobs.
You can't. To make cake? True.
Americans don't want to cook food. We don't have a rec. We don't have a history doing it. You got to go outside the country. That's skilled technical work that you can only find.
You got to outsource it.
They should have called it Irony Made in America Week or something like that.
I am dumbfounded. I think it's a failure of politics because I don't think I am at my core wrong. I mean, I'm wrong about a lot. But at its core, there was an effective anti-Trump strategy about making all of his products abroad, and it failed. It was never attempted correctly. It was not stuck to.
See, late night hosts that did most of it.
Right, and maybe it wouldn't. Maybe the guy was impervious to any sort of dent in the armor. There's strong evidence that that was the case. But I still felt like, hey, man, this is a very base level. This is a kind of thing that Americans are like, you kidding me? You don't make your stuff here, and we never really went after it. We went after the wrong things.
I mean, I think the point was made. The hypocrisy of Trump is on display in a lot of ways. But you're right; it's right there on every tag in a way that is demonstrable.
Exactly.
It was talked about. But I think he, in a way, was bulletproof. And during the campaign, again, I know we always refer back to the campaign a lot. But it was sort of an important campaign. Hillary was anything but bulletproof. It seemed as though a lot of stuff stuck to her that wasn't sticking to him, and this is one of those things that didn't stick.
I heard that she produced most of her Trump products overseas. I don't think she got enough criticism for that. But that's of course why we are mentioning this, in case any Trump viewers are watching this. You know he's not actually on your side, right? Earlier this week, during the healthcare like fallout from falling apart, and Donald Trump wants to get it back on track, he had a meeting where he called on the Senate to take away their recess in August and not rest until they passed a healthcare bill. And at that time, both J.R. Jackson and myself predicted that that would probably be a do as I say, not as I do sort of thing. And there's now evidence that that is the case. The FAA issued flight restrictions around a Trump property in New Jersey for August 3rd to August 20th, which it generally does when Donald Trump is outside of the White House and staying somewhere else. So it looks like he's going to be spending about 3 weeks playing golf in New Jersey, which is, of course, as we all know, the best way to pass healthcare bills.
You imagine going to a New Jersey golf resort for 17 days when you could go anywhere in the world?
Yeah. That is true.
Yes. Can you imagine going to a New Jersey golf resort for 17 days and your golf game still being so bad that you need to openly cheat to the point that everyone's talking about
it? I don't know. Is that right?
Yes.
I've heard that.
I have friends who are in that circle, you know, the CEOs who play golf with them, and say, oh my, he's a notorious cheater. Everybody talks about it all the time.
Yeah,
behind his back.
Well, we're going to hear later on the show about how good at sports he is. Or
yeah,
a breakdown if that's likely.
He's great at sports.
Yeah. Okay, now to one of the top stories that broke this morning. Press Secretary Sean Spicer is now out after just 180 days on the job, which, in case you're checking, is actually a very short time for a press secretary. It's one of the shortest, although not the shortest, tenures in history. So he will be leaving. The Times reported it this morning, saying that Trump tried to keep him on, but that Anthony Scaramucci being brought into the administration was the line in the sand that Sean Spicer just could not abide. And so he would be leaving his position.
Right, he said it was a major mistake, Spicer.
A major mistake, yes. All of the rest of the stuff was fine. Don't worry about that. But the Scaramucci, it can't be abided. Now remember that earlier, the former White House communications director, Mike Dubke, resigned back in May, didn't specify why. We don't know if it was Scaramucci related necessarily, but we did want to memorialize a little bit. Ben and I have been talking about, you know, the media loves these sorts of staff shakeups, and I don't care too much about what it necessarily represents for Trump, although it does, and we'll get into it a little bit. Mostly it's that we have a lot of memories of Sean Spicer,
sure.
And so we're going to look back over a few of those here.
You know, someone as despicable as Hitler, who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
Do you think people should be concerned that the president posted somewhat of an incoherent tweet last night?
The president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant.
Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
He brought him into to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. But I'm saying in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns. It was brought.
Ryan today said there's no evidence. The National Association of Secretaries of State say that they don't agree with the president's assessment. What evidence do you have?
I think the president has believed that for a while. I think anybody who undermines the success of that rage owes an apology and a disservice to the life of Chief Owens.
Is that your message to Senator John McCain?
That's my message to anybody. I think Mr. Acosta owes the president-elect and frankly the entire press corps an apology for his childish and inappropriate behavior. President Obama went outside the chain of command. He didn't use the NSA, he didn't use the CIA, he didn't use the FBI, and he didn't use the Department of Justice. He used GCHQ. What is that? It's the initials for the British Intelligence Spying Agency, that it was, you know, wiretapping. That spans a whole host of surveillance types of options. I think some people are clearly upset, but there is a bit of professional protester manufactured base in there. The president used the word wiretap in quotes to mean broadly surveillance and other activities. That is absolutely not true. There are no dossiers being kept, just a binder that I put right here. That's about it. That was a joke. Photographs of the inaugural proceedings were intentionally framed in a way, in one particular tweet, to minimize the enormous support that had gathered on the National Mall. I think through a lot of the actions and statements that he's going to make, I think the contributions of Frederick Douglass will become more and more. Kristen, all of this space was full when the president took the oath of office. and to make sure that if they are a five-year-old, that maybe they're with their parents and they don't pose a threat. But to assume that just because of someone's age or gender or whatever, that they don't pose a threat would be misguided and wrong. This audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
Yeah.
So Spicer fighting back against all of those who will give a pass to five-year-olds and assume that they can't kill someone if they want to.
You know, I don't want to. I certainly am not one to.
Thank you, JR, for putting that together.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, period. Yeah, that was great. That suit didn't even remotely fit.
No, that was the 21st. That early on.
And Trump had criticized him for his suits. It's a big one for appearances.
It would have. Yeah. So. The you know, this is a generic media criticism, not a particularly hostile one. But there is a Spicer. Sean Spicer will now get credit because he took a stand and left because there was something that he literally could not stand for, the hiring of a non-professional in a job that requires a professional. And Sean Spicer had a low-level job in the Bush-Cheney administration, then worked, I guess, for the Republican National Committee during the campaign. I don't think he was a professional either, but this is a job for a grown-up, and it's not. And I'd be curious, Mark, you think that Scaramucci, you know, because he's at ease in front of the camera and he has a charm to him that Sean Spicer lacks, but I don't know whether he'll do briefings that he'll help. I
believe Sarah Huckabee Sanders is supposed to be him, right?
Well, she got promoted. She's going to be the press secretary now, right? Yeah. So. But I bet he's a gargantuan failure at this job.
Now, two things to say. First of all, to Ben's point, on Twitter today, it was all alive with thank you, Sean Spicer, for finally having a backbone, for finally drawing the line. The only reason Sean Spicer's gone is a political reason, because he lost a spot in the White House that he'd wanted. It's something. It was completely administrative. It has nothing to do with principle. It has nothing to do with anything that matters. It only has to do with his own career. So that's first of all.
Yeah.
Secondly, yes, Ben, I think this guy, Scaramucci, who reminds me of Ben Affleck in Boiler Room. You know, he's got that kind of loud mouth, perfectly put together, you know, cufflinks that match type crap. Things that matter to Trump.
Do people wear cufflinks that don't match?
Well, you're right.
If you can only afford one at a particular time.
I meant the cufflinks that match the shoes.
Or the shoes. I got you.
I got to break it all down.
He's got shoes that match too.
Shoes that match too. This guy is Trumpian, and Trump will love that his message is getting represented strongly. So you're right. Is in some sense, is this the answer for Trump? Not necessarily, but in terms of getting his message out, is what I'm getting at. He cares about how, although I don't know what his message is.
I think Trump has gotten his message out. His message is incoherent drivel. He's one of the, he's in the top 400 dumbest successful people in the history of the United States. And
400.
So, and successful because he was born with money and he did what, he created some more money.
And he failed a bunch, but not enough to lose all of it.
That's right. So I think his message gets out very clearly.
Recraft his message so it's palatable. That's what I mean. You're absolutely right. His message changes by the hour. Yeah. I don't think he even knows what his message is.
So I want to go through a couple other elements of this.
Just let me say quickly that this is a job for a professional image creator, and he isn't one.
Yes.
And it is once again Trump putting someone who can't do this job. I'm not saying Anthony Scaramucci isn't a bright guy. He may be an incredibly bright guy. A lot of bright people can't do this job, and he'll be one of them. That's my prediction.
Exactly. Yeah, and look, let's not forget that throughout the 6 months, Donald Trump has attacked Spicer for his clothing, his hygiene, his weight. I mean, there was
his
joke.
Weight.
Yeah, that's a good one. But he did, and obviously the fact that jokes were being made about him constantly, like Trump would occasionally say he gets good ratings, but you know he doesn't like being the butt of jokes, and having Melissa McCarthy do constant impersonations, they didn't like that. A couple things we didn't have in the montage, because it focused mostly on the bad things he said, were some of the ridiculous things he did. He hid in a bush once. I don't know if you remember that. That was a funny little moment. And he used the term Holocaust centers. So he was a goofball, and even Donald Trump was able to see that. Now, it's not just Sean Spicer that was frustrated with Scaramucci coming in, though. Although I agree with what you said about why he was leaving. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times reported, tweeted this. Reince previous furious per multiple who spoke with him. He has tried blocking Scaramucci at various points.
Scaramucci's been, this is the third or fourth, at least the third
thing
job
that they've considered.
Right. Yeah. Trade representative, yeah, and
export, import bank.
The import, yeah, export bank or export import bank. I don't know which one, yeah, goes first.
I don't know. They're both
probably
good.
Import. Imports, usually probably. Import. Yeah. Import.
And so Priebus told the AP.
Gotta
though,
bring it in before you send it out.
That's how you, that's a great demand. Priebus told the AP that Scaramucci was very good friends with him and that he supports the president's choice 100%, going on to say, it's all good here in the White House.
Yeah, and I bet he was like, it's all good here.
Yeah.
So Reince Priebus, he won't have a job in the fall at the bare minimum. That would be my guess.
We've thought that many times in
I
the
got
past.
You. But here's a direct, we know this was a loss of power. They made a play. He's tried to block him in the past. This is a big job, head of the messaging. Spicer left, and so I get my hunches that Priebus won't be long for this job either. I would just like to quote The Nation. I have a whole bunch of things to say about Sean Spicer. I wanted to, because we're going to, he'll get praised for standing on principles. Mark said there's no principle. Sean, The Nation, John Nichols in The Nation today called Sean Spicer a paid perjurer. I don't think I could do better than that. He made this job a joke. He did terrible things. If he'd been principled in any way, he would have resigned. Again, to sort of paraphrase John Nichols, he would have resigned on day one when Trump sent him out there to lie about what happened on the inauguration and the day after with the crowd, with the march. So, or the whatever, a couple days after, whatever it was. So, I mean, this guy's failure at this job was epic and unparalleled. And the notion that now he sort of did the right thing. He was a laughingstock at the job, and my hunch, but I bet he'll show up somewhere, whether it's Fox News or CNN, and he'll get a book deal. And yep. And you know, just the mere nature of his leaving makes people interested in him and will elevate his status. So from Sean Spicer's point of view, probably the right move. And before he started, you know, everybody was like, "Hey, man, Sean, he's a good guy. He's one of us." But you saw what happens. You work for Trump, all of a sudden. Nothing, all that stuff. He's one of us, good guy, respects the press. Nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say on the laughing stock thing, because I thought that same thing when he left. Literally, I just thought, well, the guy's a laughing stock. Anything that they do in that role is better than that. But what I see is the administration closing behind these attack dogs like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I think Scaramucci falls into that same category to the extent that you're going to see him on camera. I mean, you see the legal team that shows up on cable television. This is what Trump respects, those attack dogs that show up on television and make the president's points, whatever the hell they're
pointing. He saw Scaramucci. The reason Scaramucci has this job, the reason Trump liked, because as we're about to play, Scaramucci was not an early Trump supporter and was very critical of him. But then come later, Trump loved how he handled himself and defended Trump on cable TV,
yeah,
on Fox. And Trump was like, that guy, I like that guy. That's what he cares about.
I want him on my team.
Right.
Okay, so why don't we transition to that? Because I too would like to talk about that. Anthony Scaramucci is now Donald Trump's new communications director. And in this video, we're going to break down some of the highlights of how he has communicated over the past few years, starting with this video.
The tape of the president. He's the most competitive person I've ever met. Okay, I've seen this guy throw another
moving
hack.
Around papers.
I'm moving around paper right now, Maria. But that's another hack politician.
You call Donald Trump a hack?
He's a hack politician.
You're in
he's probably going to make Elizabeth Warren his vice presidential nominee with comments like that.
Do you think he's a?
It's anti-American. It's very, very divisive.
You think Donald's a plant?
And I'll tell you who he's going to be president of. You can tell Donald. I said this. The Queens County Bullies Association. You got to cut it out now and stop all this crazy rhetoric spinning everybody's heads around.
I like how you say that now, but I've had a problem with the way he talked about women for years, and now
I don't like the way he talks about women. I don't like the way he talks about our friend Megyn Kelly. And you know what? The politicians don't want to go at Trump because he's got a big mouth and he's afraid he's going to light him up on Fox News and all these other places. But I'm not a politician.
You're close.
bring it.
So why is he resonating?
Money dude from Queens County, bring it, Donald.
You're close to Walker, right?
Okay.
Do you think Walker, an inherited money dude from Queens County, the hedge fund community,
is right out of Elizabeth Warren's playbook?
Yeah.
Are you a Democratic plant for Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren?
I've been saying that for a long time.
That's what we want to know. Stand here and prove otherwise.
Calling classes is right out of the Obama, Warren, Hillary Clinton playbook.
He has.
Let's show the evidence to the American people. He is a class divider.
Give him some credit. Donald Trump has reduced Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and Marco Rubio almost to irrelevance.
For now.
Their internal polling showed that his 25%
was only 15%. I'm hearing rap in my ear, but I really don't want to rap. Okay, this nonsense is going to end, and I predict it'll end before Thanksgiving.
All right, there you go. Anthony Scaramucci on the record about Donald Trump.
So unfortunately, he wasn't right in that last part. By the way, have there ever been two people on a panel who wanted to talk to each other less? Or at least one way. He was not having that guy that kept interrupting him over and over.
Yeah, you should have been here. That was that guy going,
I said that too. I said that too. I predicted that. It's like
there were days for me and Jenkins in 2004, 2005. Trust me.
But that was pretty brutal.
I'm going to have some tweets in just a second. Yeah, you should. But I mean, Scaramucci, I mean, a guy, again, I'm sure a very smart guy. I mean, first of all, to get he got fired at not at Lehman Brothers, but at where's everyone at now? Yeah, now Trump's entire cabinet
is Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. So he got he got hired at Goldman Sachs, got fired and rehired at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
because he's clearly impressive.
I didn't know that he was fired. I knew that he was hired back.
Wow. Right? Mm-hmm. And then he broke off and started a fund that advised other funds or that invested with other funds. I mean, he's thinking, and so he's a smarter guy, I suspect, than most people in that administration. But this is a guy who, by the way, just compared the playbook, the Obama, Warren, Hillary Clinton playbook on Wall Street. Well, I mean, those three people couldn't be farther apart on Wall Street. I mean, Obama probably somewhere in between Warren and Hillary Clinton, but they're not, those three people are not operating on the same playbook. And in 2010 at the town hall, because he went to law school with Obama at Harvard, he asked Obama at a town hall, so first question, when are we gonna stop whacking at the Wall Street pinata? He asked Obama.
I think I even remember that.
So the notion that, right, because in their minds, the biggest problem with Barack Obama, too tough on Wall Street.
I know,
too tough.
Craziness.
Right. And now,
I felt that.
Right, yeah, totally. clearly too tough on Wall Street because of, oh no, no one went to prison. Now that was the Justice Department. But again, if Obama had said, hey man, let's go. Right? Yeah. Right now, there are a lot of reasons, complicated reasons, about why prosecutors got so timid with prosecuting people on Wall Street. Interesting book out now on that, or coming out soon. David Sirota had the guy on. But nonetheless, they didn't do anything, right? And the notion that Dodd-Frank was
too tough,
whacking at the Wall Street pinata. So again, if you think that Donald Trump is gonna come in and get tough and defend your rights against the rights of Wall Street, you're out of your effing mind. It's guys like this. I mean, we already knew that. He's already got an entire staff.
I love that in that metaphor, Wall Street's a pinata, which is like a shallow object that's been stuffed full of stuff it never earned. And that's his analogy. That's sort of weird. But okay, that video was good, but there's other stuff as well that will soon be papered over. In fact, many of these tweets have since been deleted. But he tweeted, we the USA have 5% of the world's population, but 50% of the world's guns. Enough is enough. It is just common sense to apply more controls.
I bet he doesn't delete any of them.
Oh, he already has deleted some.
I bet he deletes those.
I really like this next one. Let's see. Walls don't work, never have, never will. The Berlin Wall, don't fall for it. Well, we'll see if he falls for it.
I just want to point out that wall worked for 28 years.
That's a good point, yeah.
It's a bad example.
Next up, he said this, if Hillary keeps us up, she might be back in play for 2016. I hope she runs, she's incredibly competent.
Ooh.
Interesting.
That one.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, he raised money for Obama in 2008,
yes.
Then for Romney in 12.
Yeah. He said, you can take steps to combat climate change without crippling the economy. The fact many people still believe climate change is a hoax is disheartening. Except when my boss does it, I don't really mind that so much.
Has that been deleted?
I don't know if that one was, but also he had an interesting evolution on climate change, you know, as people do as they get older. At one point he said that climate science is indisputable, and then he later went on to say, well, I'm not a scientist, and he evolved between June and December of last year.
Ah, sure.
For those two positions. And but here's the thing, look, we understand that, I guess it's maybe to Trump's credit that he brings in people that once criticized him, maybe. But it's just, it's the fakeness and it's the fact that, like you said, it's the paid perjurer. Like, he's gonna go up and in just his first day, Scaramucci said this, asked by a reporter if he stands by Trump's claim that 3 to 5 million illegal votes cost him the popular vote. Scaramucci said, if the president says it, my guess is that there is probably some level of truth to that. And he changed his position on climate change and he'll change his position on guns. And he once spoke very critically of the way Donald Trump spoke about Islam and tried to portray it as a religion of violence. But all of that, all of what makes a person the person they are, the values that they have, just go out the door as soon as you're standing at that podium. And that's one of the things that people hate about politics, that supposedly Donald Trump was going to change. But we're now seeing just another iteration of it.
Yeah. mean, they wanted this position of power. He wanted three positions in the administration. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the money that he would make from having this position. He's rich beyond anyone's wildest dreams.
Of course, you could have said it about Trump, but
right. No, he wants it because they want the power. Wants power. I mean, but if Scaramucci, given those things, I mean, if he'd said, you know, the Democrats are a dead party and they're too tough on Wall Street, you know, Scaramucci could have said, yeah, I'm throwing my support behind John Kasich and I hope he runs and I'll do anything to help John Kasich run. That would be fairly principled.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's checked all his principles at the door on this one, and you're going to. You've already seen a total reversal, as John has just pointed out. It's the worst of us, you know. It's just politics for politics' sake, and maybe they get their head to some place where they go, well, it's about other stuff. It's about the Supreme Court. It's about some sort of modest legislative achievement. I don't know how they get their heads around it. It's despicable.
John Nichols,
it's the worst of us.
John Nichols, back in that Nation piece, which is worth reading, said about Sean Spicer that Spicer aided and abetted the worst of Donald Trump, and that's if you're in charge of the messaging. That's what you're likely to have to do.
Let's play one more clip, just because I think it'll be fun. So if you believe that Anthony Scaramucci, now as the communications director for Trump, might occasionally tell the truth in a way we haven't gotten in the past, I want you to listen to this clip from today when asked if Donald Trump is feeling under siege.
I tell you about the president, he's the most competitive person I've ever met. Okay, I've seen this guy throw a dead spiral through a tire. I've seen him at Madison Square Garden with a top coat on. He's standing in the key and he's hitting foul shots and swishing them, okay? He sinks 3-foot putts. I don't see this guy as a guy that's ever under siege. This is a very, very competitive person. Obviously, there's a lot of incoming that comes into the White House, but the president's a winner, okay? And what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a lot of winning.
See that guy who hit that half-court shot in a full top coat and gave him a $50,000 check? Because I wonder how he got his money.
That's what got him started, not his dad.
He really should have worn stuff under the coat.
That's what I'm looking for in a president, by the way, a guy who can really throw a spiral.
Through a tire. By the way, a number of people on Twitter who were like, what does that mean?
That's what I love, is that he's trying to portray this guy who obviously is incredibly lazy. We all understand that. He's the low-energy guy as this sports hero. But even I'm not huge on sports, like listening to his examples, he said he threw a spiral through a tire. He didn't say from how far away. He didn't say how many tries he got. He hit free throws.
Right.
Okay. And he hit a 3-foot putt?
Yeah.
How much shorter could a putt be than 3 feet? I think he might have actually been insulting him in that video.
That's funny. Kim Jong-il shot a 38 under par 34. great leaders do good sports. There's no question.
The one thing I did figure out is Steph Curry, Tom Brady for president, apparently.
If you can
throw a spiral and hit a free throw, then we should elect you, apparently.
Murphy.
That makes no sense. Yeah. That's the
Looking
logic.
For a guy who can work to the hoop.
President Rick Barry. I love that. Like, they didn't say how far we're gonna put like right the tires here. Yeah, look at all those.
I once saw him hit a ball right off a tee. It was beautiful.
Anyway, that's Donald Trump, same macho bullshit
that Trump has, and that's how they bond. One way they bond.
Yeah.
They also bond over big money And clearly they bond over not really caring anything, caring about anything that that matters to this country.
Scaramucci criticized members of Congress because they were guys who didn't have any real money. Right, this is, again, we have an elite, out of touch government under the best of circumstances, but we found a way to make it considerably worse. And that matters. Bottom line on Scaramucci is, guys with good hair who graduated from Tufts University shouldn't be trusted.
That's a new rule here from TYT. Okay, we are going to take our first break. When we come back, updates on Robert Mueller's investigation into Donald Trump and a red line that has perhaps already been crossed. Stay with us. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Ben and Mark and John, a couple tweets for you. El Duende Chingon says, am I the only asshole who gets Bohemian Rhapsody going in their head upon hearing Scaramucci's name? No, there's one other asshole. Michael Shore tweeted something about that this morning, actually.
I mean, the question that everybody wants to ask after hearing about the job that Anthony Scaramucci has is, do you do the Fandango?
Exactly. I didn't have enough time to check into it, but there was a, look up the definition of Scaramucci in Italian, acting, Italian theater.
It's a clown.
Yeah, but it's a very particular type of clown. And it seems way too perfectly appropriate to the role he's going to play in the Trump administration. It seemed too good to be true. I thought it was fake news. So
what kind of clown is it? Do you remember?
We'll have it for the next break. We'll have it for the next break. There's another tweet though. Ann Summers says we lost Spicer, but we get to keep Cruella de Vil Huckabee. I don't support that sort of stereotyping, but people need to decide. If you're going to call Huckabee that, then Kellyanne Conway can't have the name. You guys need to choose which one is going to be that particular Disney character. But anyway, and Kiki Wellington says, looks like we're in for a lot of entertainment. I just hope that he produces enough content for a really good mashup of him talking about Trump in exactly the way people are forced to talk about North Korean dictators in.
It's getting that way. It's starting.
Okay, let's jump back into the news. Robert Mueller's investigation of Donald Trump is now encompasses a few areas that Trump is not very comfortable with. And as a result, the war against Mueller, the attempts to discredit him, have started up fresh. An anonymous source who viewed a letter that the White House sent around told CNN that staff were asked to save, this is from Robert Mueller, any subjects discussed in the course of the June 26th meeting, of course that's the Donald Trump Jr. meeting, and any decisions made regarding the recent disclosures about the June 2016 meeting, which could mean that they want access to more of that information, or it could be a fairly standard technique whereby you believe that they're going to try to hide or destroy that material that you already have access to, and you put it out there that you want it so they'll destroy it, and thus you have another a bit of obstruction of justice there. But either way, it doesn't look good for Donald Trump. And as a result, it looks like they're going to go after Mueller again. Trump's lawyers are apparently working to corral the probe and question the propriety of the special counsel's work. They're actively compiling a list of Mueller's alleged potential conflicts of interest, which they say could serve as a way to stymie his work, according to several of Trump's legal advisors. One of those is that apparently there was some sort of dispute between Mueller and a Trump golf course over membership fees when Mueller left several years ago.
2011.
Exactly, yes. That's probably what's driving Mueller, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I heard on POTUS radio on Sirius today that if that's the case, then Robert Mueller is really playing a long game.
He's like, you know what?
Fine. You throw me off your club. You overcharge me. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about more about what is frustrating Trump. And remember, this is coming after that New York Times interview where he laid out what the red line is. We're going to play a bit of that in just a sec. But advisors said that the president is irritated by the notion that Mueller's probe could reach into his and his family's finances, which we have heard from Mueller's investigation that they are.
They're looking at they can subpoena tax returns.
Exactly. Yes, and he has told aides he's especially disturbed after learning Mueller would be able to access several years of his tax returns.
Why do you think that is?
We haven't talked about this in a while. Obviously, we have talked a lot about it historically. No one has ever worked harder to obscure anything than he is working to obscure his taxes. It goes beyond just he didn't have as much money as we thought he did. Like that seemed like a good enough explanation for a while, but at this point, nobody goes this hard in defending something unless there's something really bad there.
It has to be a treasure trove. I mean, it really does. That's the only, as Johnny says, there's no way you build that wall. I mean, this is the metaphorical wall instead of the ridiculous wall that he's proposed for the southern border. You don't build that wall around your taxes and unless it is a treasure trove. And it may show conflict of interest beyond what we even could have conceived. And we've conceived of a lot. I think it's
like Trump took the standard deduction of $150,000 a year for three straight years for killing a vagrant. You know, like, you know, did you kill a vagrant? Yeah, I did. Well, that's $150,000 deduction right there. You know, like, I mean, it's got, right, it's like, it. No, you're right, John. No one has gone to this much trouble to cover something up.
Yeah,
it does suggest that those would be interesting to see.
Well, and listen, this world of real estate, of course, that's his is his firm. Yeah, but real estate is rife with examples of depreciation and all kinds of gray areas around tax code. You know, but this would be, if it's his personal returns we're looking at, then that could be, as I say, just a whole new world. I mean, that could be a Disneyland of conflict.
What did he say? He couldn't release his tax returns because that's right. It's going to turn out Mueller can't get his tax returns because he's being audited.
No, Mueller's going to try to get them, but the American people just don't care.
Yeah, that's right.
They just don't care enough, and so they're trying to get out in front of that. An advisor to Trump said, if you're looking at Russian collusion, the president's tax returns would obviously be outside of that investigation. With that, it's just your opinion, man.
Well, two things. One, the Russian investigation, it was Mueller. Everything pertained to collusion, to Russia's interference in the election, collusion with the Trump campaign, and anything that arises out of that. I have no idea. I don't, my hunch is, I've always thought the exact idea of Trump colluding with Russia's might end up being less impressive than some of us would hope. But obviously the scope of that investigation might include I owe $37 trillion, whatever, 37 million, pick a number, to Russian interests and can't pay it back and therefore colluded.
Which that's the whole shooting match.
And Paul Manafort does.
As, you know, Charles Pierce from Esquire tweeted today, you know, follow money. Like, so yeah, my hunch is whatever brings Trump down, if something brings him down, it will be the money. And there will be a tangential connection to the Russia investigation. But these are grown up, you know, unlike everyone in the Trump administration and unlike most of the lawyers he's hired, although I guess John Dowd, that's the Pete Rose lawyer, right? That's the Dowd report.
Right, of course. Well, some of the lawyers are tough that he's got.
I mean, guys keep quitting too because they're like, you know.
Yeah, he's had a big shakeup in his legal team recently.
We love a shakeup.
well, let's talk about what that means.
The difference between Mueller and Mueller's team and the Trump team. These aren't just professional prosecutors. These are elite professional prosecutors. You know, bringing people over whose whole careers have been following money to make criminal prosecutions, and the notion that Anthony Scaramucci is going to coordinate the communications to fight back against that, let alone what his legal team does. These are amateurs and they're going to get overwhelmed. I have moments because I in general want the playing field with prosecutors to be even, and federal prosecutors have this broad reach. I don't feel bad for the Trump people, but they are going to get overwhelmed, but we don't know when. It might be 4 months. It might be 14 months.
And John, talk about the fact that he is trying to subvert Mueller in other ways. But I just want to make a point that I think there's nothing about Donald Trump and his administration that would suggest that there's some kind of elegant collusion with the Russians. This guy is clunky and ham-fisted in his connections and associations with the Russians on election issues. But as Ben says, there is a stink of debt, something that was there having nothing directly to do with the election that could be revealed by this investigation. So the collusion, in a sense, is a false flag. But I think everything else from it, from the investigation as it broadens, could really yield something big.
So as I alluded to, a lot of people are going to be attacking Robert Mueller, but it's not all going to be coming from the Trump administration, from the White House. You also, of course, have the new state media. You've got Fox News. And so let's hear a couple of the conspiracy theories coming from Sean Hannity.
Well, Mueller, he has massive conflicts of interest. For example, President Trump pointed out to the Times a huge conflict of interest the mainstream media has largely ignored. Do you know the day before Mueller was appointed a special counsel? Guess what? He was interviewed by President Trump for the FBI director job. So Mueller knew he had a chance to be appointed special counsel, yet he still interviewed to be the FBI director. It's beyond ridiculous. Also, Mueller has several other conflicts of interest. Remember, he's BFF with James Comey, who's a key witness in this investigation. Well, that could be a potential violation of the law. And Mueller, what did he do? Look at the people he's hired. Members on his team, well, that have donated thousands and thousands of dollars to Democrats, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. Take a look at this graphic. His investigators have donated tens of thousands of dollars to the likes of these people. Okay. And by the way, what's even worse is that one of the lawyers on Mueller's team, guess what? It used to be Hillary Clinton's lawyer at the Clinton Foundation.
This is crazy. The Trump apologist, Sean Hannity, with a ridiculous, ridiculous point.
Beyond ridiculous.
He interviewed the day before for the FBI job to replace Comey. Shouldn't that be evidence in his favor?
They apparently thought he was so responsible.
Exactly. To use that then against him is insane.
It's not even. It's just saying it loudly and into a teleprompter.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Therefore, makes it true. I like the second one better about giving money to Democrats. These are again career prosecutors. By the way, I'm sure there is a list of some prosecutors who've given money to Republicans.
It's possible.
Right.
Could have happened.
But yeah. I love any list that includes. And Brandon Von Krack gave $286. Yeah, I mean, like,
right. Well, is that really the name Brandon Von?
Unfortunately, the guy's name is Brandon Von Krack.
We need a name to round out the list.
God knows
by the way,
it on.
Not unfortunately, that's the coolest name ever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You can just call me Von.
So one more thing. Yeah. You notice all those contributions were given by friends or someone involved somehow with Mueller. Tonight on Hannity, just to promo you guys, it's Scaramucci, Priebus, and Spicer is what I heard. Is he gonna ask Scaramucci, how about that money you gave Obama? How about the praise you gave to Hillary Clinton? I don't think he will.
Yeah,
and say, you're in there, this is a mole for the president. No, because he kissed his ass today, so he's good.
Also, yeah, exactly. So by the way, there, you know, I mean, these aren't real conflicts, right? So, but there are prosecutors who could delve into this case who haven't given money to Democrats, and they would do it with the same gusto.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to do, of course, is just get at conflict of interest, because a conflict of interest is one of the reasons that you can fire the special counsel under the special counsel regulations. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
so
right.
That's the conflict of interest is a phrase that they are going to use and continue to use to set up Trump's dismissal of Mueller.
So there are two things going on. One is the conflict of interest, as Ben says, to set up a legitimate reason to dump Mueller. And the other is undermining Mueller just generally within the public, so that whatever conclusions Mueller reaches, or even interim conclusions are reached, or even hinted at, are counterfeited by this information and propaganda about who Mueller is and what this investigation is really about. It's about all these things that are really political, and there are all these conflicts of interest, and so this is a witch hunt. So it plays to both those things, I think.
But I think, yes, I agree. But I think most importantly, the reason that phrase has come up, because Trump knows that there may come a time where he has to fire him or get Rod Rosenstein to fire him.
Yeah. Who
he's also attacked because he's from Baltimore, and that's a loser city.
Yeah. What did he call about Baltimore? He's not from Baltimore, but he attacked him for being from Baltimore.
He worked in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's from Philly. It's also or Pennsylvania. So, but critically, the Jeff Sessions stuff is also related to that too, because the only reason Rosenstein is relevant is because Sessions has recused himself. But if Sessions resigns and he brings in a new attorney general that is more suited to Trump, and he'll obviously tell him to fire. So a different attorney general could come in and fire Mueller, to say nothing of the president's ability to fire Rosenstein. All of this, all of these things, firing Mueller, we're acting like he can. Mm-hmm. You could make that case, and you could put.
He's laid out a red line, and the investigation has gone past it.
Theoretically.
So it could
and
well
I actually
happen.
Think in this case there would be, because Mueller is still enormously respected inside Washington. This is as establishment a player as there is. There will be legitimate political repercussions to firing Mueller, not just among Democrats, but I actually think in this case, even among Republicans.
That's the danger, that if you fire Mueller now for the first time, you know, you always wonder when the Republicans will turn. That might be the kind of thing to at least get some of that Republican congressional support turning.
Exactly,
And once a few turn, the rest could follow.
Do you think Hannity knows what BFF stands for? I doubt it.
He's got Google, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, that is going to be an interesting moment for America. I think that considering everything we've learned, the denialist position is pretty ridiculous now. But that he would fire a second person doing the investigation after implying he might get rid of Sessions purely because Sessions can't protect him during the investigation. This is apparently the only thing he thinks about, the only thing he cares about. That should say something to most people, but some people still haven't caught up. We are going to take our second break. When we come back, though, we have another follow-up sort of interesting legal and constitutional question that very well could become real here in America. Back after this. Welcome back to What Remains of the First Hour with Ben and Mark and myself. Got a couple of good tweets to read. Gene Hartke quoted, I think it was you, Mark, that said tax returns will be a Disneyland of information. And then they wrote, don't you dare close your eyes, which is good for the Disney fans. Pratik Lala says, Mueller has another clear conflict of interest. He's a lawyer, thus biased in favor of the law. That's suspicious. I don't think we have room for that.
Wish I thought of that line. That was good.
I think we need special counsel Louis Gohmert.
That does feel like a line that you would utter.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, one more topic for you. Donald Trump and his lawyers aren't just looking to interfere with the investigation into the last election. They're not just looking to disrupt it. They might go a step farther than that. The Washington Post reports that Trump has, quote, asked his advisors about his power to pardon aides, family members, and even himself in connection with the probe, according to someone familiar with the effort. A second person said Trump's lawyers have been discussing the president's pardoning powers among themselves, which is just standard operating procedure when you and all the people you know are innocent of crimes. You just talk a lot about pardoning. you're just curious about pardoning.
It comes up.
It does. Jay Sekulow, Trump's attorney, says pardons are not being discussed and are not on the table. So bear that in mind. But in light of this report, because
Jay Sekulow said it.
Yeah, Jay, you can take that to the bank.
We should probably just end this clip. But you know, we're going
to
push on. We have a couple more minutes. So now there's this question. A lot of people are wondering, what is the extent of the pardoning power of the president? Can he pardon Mike Flynn? Can he pardon his family members? Can he even indeed pardon himself? And so a lot of legal scholars and law professors have been writing up their thoughts on this. And it is complicated. There have not been that many pardons this close to an administration. It's not really what the pardon was originally created for us to go back to. But we do have some guidance. A Michigan State University law professor said he can definitely pardon people who haven't been charged yet. And contrary to a common misconception, it doesn't require as a legal matter that he say they are guilty. So that again could be Mike Flynn, it could be Manafort, it could be Donald Trump Jr. And the general consensus is that he can pardon any of those people or beyond for things that they are being investigated for, things we don't even know about, things they haven't been charged with. And he can largely do that to whatever extent he wants.
He can start pardoning White House staffers as they enter the new job, as going through one of those like metal detectors and the pardon.
It could be like baptism.
Exactly. It can all be done at one time.
But significantly, you can't pardon yourself related to impeachment. That's in the Constitution. Right. And you can't pardon if there was a state investigation. Mm-hmm. Like the pardoning power doesn't work if New York State, for example, were to prosecute him. But he might be able to prosecute to pardon himself. Like that, we don't know. Like
yeah.
That's a Supreme Court interpretive thing?
I'm going to jump into a little bit of legal argument.
Oddly enough, it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened because the idea was that it's sort of a power of mercy that you could grant to another person, not that you would protect yourself and your inner circle from criminal charges. But I'm going to jump ahead because we could go into Gerald Ford, and he obviously, he pardoned Nixon for offenses against the US that he committed or that he might have committed. You don't even have to like spell it out. It can just be like you're absolved. But let's go way, way back in American history. In Federalist number 74, Hamilton notes that, quote, humanity and good policy requires that the pardon power ought to remain in the hands of the president. He argued for that, although some disagreed, rather than dispersed among the many members of Congress, which is actually how it works in a lot of states. Because the sense of responsibility he would feel in having such enormous power over another person's fate would ensure that he exercised it with, quote, scrupulousness and caution. Two words I think of when I think of Donald J. Trump.
Well, Hamilton had a lot of faith, didn't he?
He did. He's naive, I think.
Yeah, there was seldom was Alexander Hamilton more wrong.
Exactly, Not saying anything about the show.
No.
Further, let's go to Jessica Lavison, a Loyola Law School professor, who said this. Shortly before President Nixon resigned from office, the Office of Legal Counsel issued an opinion in which they cautioned that no one may be a judge in his or in his own case. This is also a principle of so-called, quote, natural law. This meant the OLC said that the president cannot pardon himself. Although the interesting thing about the Office of Legal Counsel is that they are not the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah,
so that is something
that Brian Kaltz, who you quoted before, says that this is a fiercely debated but unresolved legal question. That's ultimately where
and
this is.
I mean, it would likely be a Supreme Court issue.
It would be now, but the president, first of all, he could be impeached and removed from office, totally separate from whether he pardoned himself. In fact, you cannot pardon yourself to keep you absolved from the circumstances related to impeachment. That's directly in the Constitution. So removed from all this is whether as a political matter, though, pardoning yourself. I mean, again, I get it. I don't think is more critical in general of this group of Republicans that we have in Congress right now. I cannot believe they would stand by while the president, after trying to fire the special counsel, then proceeded to pardon himself.
Well, I mean, here's how it's done, obviously, under the guise of this. Look, we are getting so distracted with this ridiculousness, this wild goose chase. They're not letting me follow my agenda. Right. The American people hired me to do a job, and this insanity in Washington is preventing me from doing that job. I'm pardoning everyone. I'm pardoning myself. Let's get on with the business. I mean, it would be sold like that.
It would be sold like that. But of course, then
that would work for most dictators, I think.
That's what he wants.
Right away, Duterte in the Philippines, he'd be like, you know what? I am going to come to the United States. It seems like actually a great place.
This mayor is just bothering me. I'm just going to kill him and then let's move on, people.
Yeah, so that would be challenged. So he would still have to deal with it as it worked its way through the courts, because there would be people obviously who objected. He would lose. I can't, as a political matter, that strikes me as such a gargantuan loser. I get it. There's some that 36% stays through some things.
Well,
it would drop to 28%.
Well, again, that 36%, just to be pure about it, that's the overall electorate, overall polled electorate. Yeah. He's still got a strong Republican.
Totally. He's governing. Yeah. He's governing to
over 80%.
He's governing to the 80% of Republicans who support him. That's all he cares about. So, and Nixon, you know, even before impeachment, was still over 50% of Republicans. So it was a different time. There were different kinds of Republican in the Senate. There were men of significant principle. Barry Goldwater famously told the president, because Nixon was not impeached. Nixon resigned prior to impeachment, and he would have been removed from office because Nixon thought, well, I'll never get the 2/3 vote in the Senate. But Goldwater told him, no, Mr. President, you don't have the votes and you don't have mine. Mm. And that was the final blow.
A conversation like that today.
Yeah. So you've laid out, you think, you know, if he were to do that, that would cause problems for him. We never know with Donald Trump. Nope. He has weathered pretty much everything. But he has said that he might fire Mueller for things that Mueller has already done. So that might well happen. And he could well pardon his entire family and himself. And I think that is going to be an interesting moment for every American in politics, outside of politics, in media, outside of media, where you have to ask yourself what you stand for and what you will allow. Are you going to hold our politicians accountable for what they do? Or are we going to lay down and just let Trump and his inner circle do whatever they want for the next 3 years?
What?
And we might well have to answer that question
real soon. Quick, in 15 seconds, what if Ivanka doesn't want him to pardon Jared? Like, can you imagine the power of being able to pardon your son-in-law? Like, oh my God, she'd be like, no, yeah, Dad.
That's actually going to be on the next episode of Game of Thrones. That's going to happen. Anyway, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. So I'm going to have to leave. Anna Kasparian will be here shortly. Another great hour coming to you. Thank you to Ben and Mark for joining me here.
There's a new episode of my podcast, The Edge with Mark Thompson, up today, up just a few hours old. So have at it.
And we'll see you in just a few.